Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'm giving you a cordial invitation to stay with me. The time will be brief, just a few minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. And we do that with no manipulation. We do not have hidden agendas. We are not trying to coerce you into doing anything. We're not asking you to give us money. We're not asking you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. This show is simply for one thing only. That is to give you accurate information. Information that I pray, will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you are able to do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's always up to you. But this show stands for one thing, giving you accurate information. Not human speculation, accurate information. And we take that information from the canon of Scripture, the Bible. Yes, of the Bible, a show about the Bible, another show about the Bible. However, not maybe like what you've heard before. No ranting, no raving, no telling you that you're going to go to hell because you wear makeup, or you're going to go to hell because you do this, that, or the other. That's not our objective. Our objective is to tell you what the Bible says and let you make an informed decision. Now, the FLOT line, F-L-O-T, is an acronym. It stands for the Forward Line of Troops. That's what this show is about, teaching you the 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Scripture. And if you learn these 10 problem-solving devices, and if you use them, it's possible you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. We know that adversity is inevitable. We live in the devil's world, but we know that stress is optional because as Christians, we have the dynamics of the Christian life, a unique power experiment that Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, passed on to us. We have the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have the dynamics of the living Word of God. We have the faith rest drill that Moses used when he stood and faced Pharaoh at the Red Sea. We have all of these operating assets, and if we use them, if we learn them and use them, then we can indeed operate in the most phenomenal, amazing, wonderful life the world has never known. It is called the spiritual life, and yes, the world has never known it. It's not the life that the world lives. It's the life that you can live, a spiritual life. And the spiritual life is the life that Jesus Christ, our Savior, imparted to you. When you become a Christian, when you believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior, something unique happens. No longer are you just a body and a soul. Now, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born again, and now you become a body, yes, a soul, yes, but also you are a living spirit. You have a human spirit, and God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. And Ephesians 1:13 tells you that He seals you until the day of redemption, or the day that He returns to take you home. And so, as a Christian, you have three parts, a body, a soul, and a spirit. And the question is, which one will control the body? Are you going to let the soul and the dictates of the sinful nature control your body? Or will you allow God's Holy Spirit through your human spirit to control your body? See, no doubt you've looked into a mirror recently. Probably you even did it this morning. I know I did. It's kind of scary, too. But who looked back at you? That's the question. Was that the real you? The one that was staring back from the mirror, is that the real you? And if your face was all smashed up in an accident, if you had a terrible tragedy accident, and would you change? I mean, would it still be you inside of there? If you lost a leg or a hand, would you become inferior, or would you still be you? You see, of course not. The real you is always there. That's the invisible you. That's the soul. You have an invisible soul, and your soul has mentality. Your soul has volition. You can choose. Your soul has a conscience and a self-conscious. And I know that these are parts of your human soul. And you also have a human spirit that was born dead spiritually. You were born spiritually dead. But when you believed in Jesus Christ, you were made spiritually alive. When you die physically, your soul and your spirit will both go to heaven, where you will get a resurrection body, and that's the body you will live in forever. So the real you is inside of you. Is it in your heart? Well, no, that's not true. I mean, don't people have heart transplants and remain alive and they still have the same personality as they did before? So it's not really the heart. That's not the real you. I mean, come on. Where is the real you? The real you is your soul. And that is the residence of life, the source of the real you. The real you is in your thinking. The real you is what you think. And until a doctor uses an EEG, an electroencephalogram, and declares you brain dead, you are always alive. You are always you. And Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his soul, so he is. You know, it's interesting. We can fool people. People look at us and can't read what's behind the pages of our face. But the real us is what we're thinking. And so life is in the soul, because the soul is the source of thought. I mean, have you ever seen a dead body, maybe like in a funeral home, and you remember recognizing the person? I mean, it was the same person you used to know. Same face, same lips, same scar, and you recognize that person, but something was strangely changed, wasn't it? And you want to know what it was? The soul was gone. Because at death, the soul exits the body. And that's what death is. Death is simply your soul leaving your body. And so in death, your body becomes an empty shell. Outwardly, it still looks the same, but without a soul to impart life, without a soul to give it any personality or any individuality, it's just an empty shell. That dead person didn't seem the same to you because his soul was gone. And converse is true. Life begins when God breathes into a body a living soul. When a baby is born, that baby is a living soul. God created him. God gives that baby a soul, and that soul resides inside a human body. It's the immortal, invisible part of a man, and it's created by God. Yes, a man and a woman can copulate and create human life, but only God can give soul life. So that's the thing to remember. The Lord is the one who stretches out the heavens and the one who lays the foundation of the earth and who forms the soul of a man within him, Zechariah 12:1. There it is. Man, yes, can he create biological life? Oh, sure, but only God can create a soul and give human life. Everyone has a soul created by God, and that soul is never going to die. It will live forever. Yes, our bodies will age, and we will die, but our souls will live forever. God doesn't lie. I mean, we know that, and he declares that your soul, once it's freed from your body through death, will instantaneously reach one of two destinations. Either you will be face-to-face with God, or you will be into hell, where Satan and the fallen angels will reside. So that truth bears repeating. The soul of everyone, without exception, no exceptions, will spend eternity either in heaven with God or in the lake of fire eventually. Those are the only two options. And happiness with God in a dwelling place prepared specifically for us, the ones that believe in him, removing all pain and all misery, and yet unhappiness for those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Disenfranchised, disinterested, arrogant, snubbing their noses at God. Remember, the Bible says God will not be mocked. To mock God means to turn your nose up at God. And here they are in the lake of fire now, wishing they had not believed the lie, wishing they had not said, well, there is no God. There is no Jesus Christ. He's not really the Son of God. And then when they find out the truth, they will regret it for sure. But you see, God is very patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Bible says. And so God gives you plenty of time. But there will be a payday someday, as a preacher once said. The Bible says in John 14, don't let your souls be troubled. You believe in God, now believe also in me. That's Jesus Christ and his words. Here's what he told his disciples. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I am going to prepare a place especially for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself so that you can be with me also. Well, look in the mirror one more time now, because the eyes that stare back at you will someday be empty. Your soul will leave your body in death. And we know the destination of the body, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It will eventually decompose. But what about your soul? It does not decompose. And the question is, where will your soul be? In heaven or in hell? Your ticket to get to heaven is as simple as believing in Jesus Christ, that he is the anointed Son of God. The Bible says, he that believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already. Yes, I refer to the Bible, God's Word, the canon of Scripture. It is true. It is the Word of God. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will give you a one-way, irrevocable ticket to heaven. The Bible is clear in John 3:16. For you see, God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his Son, his uniquely born Son, so that anyone who believes in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but on the contrary, that the world through Christ might be saved. Therefore, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ is not judged, but anyone who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the uniquely born Son of God. That's out of the Bible, word for word, with a bit of a modified, expanded translation. So salvation by faith is too simple, some people say. I mean, I have to work for it and earn it. Don't I have to be good? Don't I have to be judged on how good I was and how good I was to people? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross himself. For he, God the Father, made him, that's Jesus Christ, his Son. This is out of the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin as a substitute for us, for the purpose that we might become once and for all the righteousness which belongs to God through Jesus Christ. So it appears that our Lord set aside his perfection of deity, and he became a man, and he went to the cross as our substitute, willing to endure the Father's judgment, and was punished for the sins of the whole world. He took our place. He suffered our punishment. And he did all of this so that you and I could spend eternity with him in heaven. Because Jesus Christ did everything that we have to do. All we have to do is believe. He willingly suffered on the cross so that we wouldn't suffer eternal judgment of the damned if we accept his free gift of salvation. The Lord redeems the souls of his servant, and none of them who trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 34, verse 22. Suppose you wanted to take charge of your soul's destination. Suppose you didn't want to go the route of Jesus Christ. You don't want to depend on the work of Christ. You want to work your way into heaven. Or maybe you don't even believe God when he says, without the Son, you can't have eternal life. Maybe you don't even believe there's really a hell. Maybe you should wake up. You should. Your soul and body, a special body, some sort of body that you will have. I don't know what it'll be, but it will be in the lake of fire forever if you reject the free gift of salvation. It's like you're drowning in the sea of sin and God has thrown you a life jacket and you say, I don't need the life jacket. I'll swim out. And you can't. You can't swim out because you were born into sin. You should. And your soul in a special body will be in the lake of fire. Wake up. Wake up and believe in Jesus Christ before you reach your final destination. You can't pretend you don't arrive. You can't say, I didn't really mean to end up here. I don't like fire. Give me another chance. It's not going to happen. The decision that you make about Jesus Christ today while you're on this earth will determine the final destiny of your soul for all eternity. So choose wisely and choose the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, and he who does not obey the mandate to believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him forever. Now, I want to take just a little bit of time to look at our soul so you can make an informed decision about your soul and where you will really spend eternity. And by the way, I do have a book about this. It's called Understanding Your Soul. The book is free. If you'd like to have a copy, just write to me or email me from our website, rickhughesministries.org. We'll be more than happy to send you a free book. No charge ever. Don't send us any money. We're not asking for that. But the Bible talks about your having a soul and having a body and having a spirit. As a matter of fact, when Adam and Eve were first created by God, God formed old Adam from the dust of the earth and then took from his rib and created Eve. And he created them with bodies, with a soul, and with a spirit. You see, they needed a spirit to have fellowship with Jesus Christ when he came to the Garden of Eden, where they learned his will for their lives. But when they sinned, when they made a decision to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they didn't lose their body. They still had their body. They didn't lose their soul. They still had their soul. But they no longer had the ability to have fellowship with God because they died spiritually because of sin. Listen to the warning in Genesis 2:17. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, because the day you eat of it, dying you will die. In other words, they died immediate spiritual death and eventually physical death. When they lost their human spirit, they lost their ticket to heaven. Had they died that moment, their souls would have tumbled into what the Old Testament called Sheol, or the place of torments. Instead, their souls are in heaven, and not because of anything they did, but because God was very merciful. God gives every human being the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and Adam and Eve took that opportunity, and they did believe. You see, the grace of God overlooks no one. Listen to 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow towards us about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not wishing for any to be utterly destroyed, but for all to come to repentance. And that repentance is to change your mind. It doesn't mean that you feel sorry about your sin. Interestingly enough, in the Greek New Testament, there are several words for repent. Anything from metanoeo to metamelomai. But to repent, as the Bible talks about, means to change your mind. What think ye of Christ? You did not believe, now you become a believer. You change your mind. It doesn't mean to feel sorry for your sins. It doesn't mean that in order for you to become a Christian, you have to go down the aisle of a local church or down the aisle where some evangelist is holding a crusade and weep and sob at the altar and ask God to forgive you for all of your sins. As a matter of fact, your sins have already been judged. They were poured out on Christ on the cross. They were judged already. And when you come to the cross and you receive Christ as your Savior, those sins that were judged in Him are forgiven. And you have eternal life. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Because Adam and Eve believed in Christ as their Savior, God gave them human spirits again. And those human spirits attached themselves permanently to their soul. And when those two died, which they eventually did, their souls and their spirit went to heaven, and they will always be in heaven. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will meet them. You will actually meet Adam and Eve in the presence of God. You see, when they sinned by eating of that fruit, they acquired something new, something dangerous, something they had never had before. It's called a sin nature. And at your birth, God imputed that same sin nature. Adam's original sin was imputed to you, genetically formed in you. The same sin nature that Adam and Eve acquired because of their individual sin, you received, and you're not alone. Every human being except Jesus Christ, who did not have a human father, is born with a spirit and with a sinful nature. I mean, we've already established that your body dies and decomposes and your soul lives on for heaven, and we've already established that only your soul can reach heaven if it has a human spirit attached to it. And how do you get that human spirit? By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's how simple it is. That's how simple God makes salvation. Your soul is never going to die. It's either going to be in heaven or hell. But your soul's ticket to heaven is that human spirit. Christ paid for your sins on the cross. And when you believe in Him and receive Him, your human spirit is attached to your soul. And that's your ticket to heaven. It's free. No strings attached. It's irrevocable, non-refundable, just as easily as that. Your eternal destination is a good place to go. The God who made the universe and everything in it because He is the Lord of the earth doesn't live in temples constructed by human hands, the Bible says. Neither is He tended by human hands as though He needed anything. Because He Himself gives life and breath and everything to everyone, Acts 17:24-25. So our God who made everything doesn't need man to make temples to Him. Because God the Holy Spirit controls every believer's soul. And if God the Holy Spirit lives in you, your body is the temple of God. You can read that one for yourself in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in chapter 6. Your body is the temple of God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Paul wrote, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who indwells you? Whom you have received from God, and you are not your own. You have been bought at a price, that is through the blood of Christ, our Savior. So Paul says, go on to glorify God with your body. I'm not saying we shouldn't build a church. Of course we should, but they are fragile and vulnerable. But when you believe in Jesus Christ, your human spirit attaches itself to your soul, and it remains with your soul forever in an everlasting testimony to God's marvelous grace. And when your mentality of your soul, the thinking part of your soul, when it's filled up with God's Word, then that is a permanent temple to God inside of you. The soul of every person, believers or unbelievers, and the human spirit of every person, well, let me back that up. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're a Christian, your soul and your spirit will never be destroyed. Never, never, never. So I hope you understand that, what I'm trying to tell you. You are born disastrously different from Adam. You were born not only with a human spirit, but with a sin nature. And if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, they would not have received the sin nature. Their bodies might have deteriorated, and their souls might have remained in their bodies forever, but they did sin. They sinned, and we got the imputation of Adam's sin nature at our birth. That's where the problem was. So, for this reason, just as why one man, sin, entered into the world, and so spiritual death by sin, consequently, spiritual death has spread to all mankind, because all mankind has sinned. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 5:12. Eve, we know she sinned in ignorance, tricked by Satan, but she received the consequences of that sin, including spiritual death. She turned from God, even though God loved her. And he punished her as the only means of encouraging her to come back to him. God does not want anyone to ever perish in the lake of fire. He doesn't want any believer to fail to execute his spiritual life. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to come to heaven. He wants you to glorify him with your life. And he's very merciful. So just as he imputed the sin nature to everyone at birth, through spiritual death, he also gives everybody the equal opportunity to believe in Christ, equal opportunity to receive Christ as Savior, and spend eternity with him. He desires that. He does not want anyone to go to the lake of fire prepared for Satan and his angels. But the choice is always ours. We choose. We have volition. We make our own mind up. We choose the eternal destination of our soul. If we choose to reject Christ or accept Christ, we're choosing. We make the decision. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're making the right decision to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. We'll talk some more about how your soul functions and to understand your soul. So I hope you'll come back next week. And in the meantime, if you'd like to have the book, just call us, write to us, send us an email. We'll get it out immediately. I'm going to be in Tallahassee, Florida next week, speaking at Tallahassee Bible Church. If you're in the area, hope to see you there. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.